tell me a little bit about the fantastic piece of machinery that you've got in front of us at the moment.
Right, this traction engine is very old as a miniature. It was built, we think, in 1962, basically from scrap. The cylinder and the motion, we think, came off something like a milking parlour engine from the 1900s. It was built by a welder and mechanic in his spare time as a hobby, obviously. This is not the original boiler now. This is the third boiler this engine's had. But it's fairly agricultural and basic. It doesn't look as posh as the rest. But then it was home built. It's a Freelance. There's not another one like it in the country.
Okay, so it's, I mean, from the side, it very much looks like what you see on an old steam train engine.
The boiler is of Hunslet locomotive design, this one, basically. But I had it extended, both the barrel and the firebox a wee bit, because when I bought this engine, I was told it didn't steam well. So it makes plenty of steam now, that's for sure.
You can certainly see that. It's steaming away fine. And does this one have a whistle? And
No, a very clever whistle at the moment. It used to be too piercing, but it's not very good at the moment. It needs some work doing on it.
And something like this, when you take it around the country for people to see, but for yourself, a fantastic hobby to be interested in.
Well, I've done quite a lot of bits and pieces to it. There's a slight bend in the crankshaft, which has been there since I bought it, so I've been trying to get that sorted out. But it looks like it's going to be a new crankshaft, so I'll have to make up patterns and have that cast, and then we'll get it machined. Hopefully that'll take all the wobbles out of it.
I take it, obviously, that with something as bespoke as this, you can't just pop down to Halfords and
pick up some spares for it. You don't get anything from Halfords for this. In fact, not even the nuts and bolts, because it's got every different type of thread on this engine that you could think about.
So you have to do your research and your homework every time you need a spare part for this.
Well, you just measure it up and make it. You fabricate it yourself pretty much.
Yeah, so you can't even go and buy a lot of this stuff. You actually have to physically fabricate it yourself.
Some of the nuts and bolts that are available, they still do. You can still get UNF and UNC and Whitworth and BSF, but they're much harder to get hold of. Obviously, the metric stuff's easy, but there's not much metric on here.
Yeah, no, I would imagine, obviously, with the age and things, it was...
Yeah, well, 62 when he built it.
Metric hadn't even come around to it at that particular point.
So. And I think at that time, he picked up fastenings wherever he could, so they're all different. Yeah. I mean, and if you look at the two on here, that one and the one below, they're both different.
Yeah.
And it's the same with an awful lot of it. There's just nuts and bolts that, that'll do the job, and that's what he put in. And it's done the job since the 60s, so it must be all right.
Do you have a particular favourite part of this traction engine?
Not really, they're just fun. Fun and a pain sometimes.
And, you know, describing it to our listeners, how would you best describe a picture of it? You're trying to describe it to someone so they can picture what we're looking at today.
It vaguely resembles a modern, or not so modern, agricultural tractor. But the strength is all in the boiler. That's the chassis for it, which is the same with a diesel tractor, because the strength is all in the engine and gearbox castings. So from that point of view, it's the same. But then the power is sitting on the top as opposed to inside the covers. So it's all very open, this. Which actually, when you go to shows, it's what the kids like, because they can see everything moving. The full-size engines are fine, but everything's way up where they can't see it. Mm.